everyone, and welcome to the Advice Show. From advising clients to practice management, this podcast will give you UK and global insights into the financial planning profession. I'm Chloe, a reporter and new model advisor, and today we are talking about microservices and how they could transform the wealth management industry. So microservices is a type of software architecture used in building platforms by dividing the service they provide into smaller units. So that would apply to platforms in the wider sense of the word, but also, and that is more relevant to our discussion today, to investment platforms. So instead of having a big lump of software, you would have smaller components that can be integrated into the larger whole and updated much more easily. For advisors, that means access to more flexible and more responsive services. So joining us today to talk about microservices, we have Mike Baker, Managing Director of Finocomp, a software development company that is owned by Bravura, which provides microservices technology to wealth management companies. We also have Bill Vasiliev, Chairman of Novo Global, which is a platform that is deploying its microservices capabilities. So Bill and Mike represent kind of both sides of the coin, with the provider side and the user side, which will give us two interesting perspectives. So let's jump in then. Let's talk about microservices. So it's someone who's not maybe tech oriented, who doesn't have that kind of technical know-how of microservices, how would you explain the concept of it? Mike, if you want to get started.
So let's roll with this then. So this is absolutely in Finocomp's area. So we've been founded for a number of years now dealing exclusively in microservices, and I guess the easiest way to think about it is, rather than having one big box that does a whole load of stuff, and there are obviously compromises, whatever that box represents, it could be IT, it could be a shopping center, it could be whatever it is, to get things to move quickly can be challenging. So the whole idea around microservices is to break them up into smaller things. So if you've got a number of smaller things that together still provide capability to our clients, of which Bill is an example, then it enables us to be a lot nimbler, a lot quicker to react, and be driven a lot more by people like Bill and other people in the industry. So it's all about being nimble, being able to adapt quickly, and ultimately providing a better service to our clients, hopefully then realizing a better service to our customers' clients.
All right. Bill, do you have anything to add to that description of microservices?
I think that's right. And I think one of the things that we've missed so far is that when we use these big, we would call them monolith systems as opposed to microservices, the amount of money and time it takes us to regression test, which means when there's a change to the system, you have to check the whole system every time to make sure that nothing else has been contaminated, something you didn't expect. And that is a huge overhead to platforms, which you avoid by using microservices. We're a fan of microservices. We've used them for a number of years, so we have a combination really of your monolith systems with microservices attached to it. And more we're moving down the microservices route.
And so can you give some examples of microservices that are available right now and which are being developed? Mike, if you want to give some examples.
Yeah, sure, Chloe. So we've had, and forgive me, I don't want this to be a sales pitch, right? I don't want this to be a discussion, and hopefully everybody continues listening and enjoying themselves. So we, as Infinicom, have a number of microservices available for a while. An example of that would be our cost base engine, so a CGT calculator. We also have a model manager. So and this isn't a platform bashing exercise, but certain parts of the industry do some things very, very well. And there are always spaces and there are always gaps. So historically, we've always tried to get into those areas where perhaps the platforms have not specialized. But for sure, within Finocomp and within the wider group that Finocomp now operates, there is a move towards this microservice capability. So I know from conversations, just like Bill was saying, that clients can get frustrated with long test cycles. Clients or customers of our clients can get frustrated by speed to market, how quick you can change, the cost of testing a major release from a platform, for example. So the whole idea about microservices, both now and going forwards, will be to try and remove that as much as possible. And I've got visions for the future where, just like I don't quite understand how my own iPhone upgrades overnight, I kind of want the industry to be ultimately looking to try to get to that. We shouldn't necessarily, or everybody shouldn't have to understand how it works. We just need to have confidence that when we want to deploy stuff quickly, we can do. So I can provide Bill a better service, and Bill in turn can provide his clients a better service.
And so, Bill, at Novia, what are some of the microservices that you're looking to add into to the capabilities?
Yes. So Mike mentioned a CGT calculator and model portfolio manager. Attached to that, you can have things like just basic illustrations or all the different portfolio construction tools that are sitting alongside the platform. And we would look to build more and more microservices. So things like taking charges, all the charges that you take on the system, we would develop that using microservice technology. And more and more, it will all become over time microservices.
And so what would you say are the biggest, the main benefits for advisors? Obviously, there's this idea of flexibility. It gets updated more quickly. What would you say are the main benefits?
If for advisors, we're doing things that probably we wouldn't do if it wasn't for microservices. It allows us to work with different suppliers, and it allows us to work with new suppliers coming into the market, rather than be tied to one supplier. If you're tied to one supplier, you're also very, very tied to their production cycle. And by using different suppliers, you can cut speed to market immensely. And there's always a shopping list of things we want to do, always, that we want to do and that advisors want. And the microservices allow us to fill that hole. For one thing, we probably couldn't do it if we were just tied to one supplier. So it's all around this speed to market, flexibility, but actually giving more choice as well that we couldn't do without it.
And Mike, what would you say are the benefits to advisors?
I would totally agree with Bill in the first point, I guess. So my wife was a financial advisor for 15, 20 years, so I'm well aware of some of the frustrations within that community. And I think as an industry, we maybe haven't listened enough and perhaps reacted appropriately enough at times. And I think for me, the real opportunity here is that advisors should talk to those platforms they deal with. And hey, I'm happy for advisors to talk to Finicom too. So if anyone wants to speak to me, that's great. And I think the industry should listen. And I think the ability that microservices gives the industry, and not just from Finicom, but across whoever decides to provide capability into this area, should react. So there is opportunity. So as Bill says, there, you know, Bill wouldn't be tied to a single provider. And I have to accept that because of that, we have more competition. But ultimately, competition provides innovation. It provides growth. It provides challenges where ultimately the product should be better. So again, if I can provide better kit for my customers, then that betterness should be passed on to their customers too. So to me, I think it's an everybody wins type methodology here.
Right. And when we talk about tech integration and microservices on platforms, we talk sometimes about this idea of plug and play. What should that look like, do you think, Mike?
Oh, that's a really good question. So today and the future, I think, will be different. So at the moment, or maybe historically, there's been a bit more specific integration patterns. So by integration, we're basically saying, I've got a really cool piece of capability. It's a microservice A. How do we integrate that to platform A or platform B? And we always try to develop ours as generically as possible so that they can just plug in. But we do live in a world where data is key and technology is king and all of these other things. So we need to be fully aware that as an industry going forwards, I want us to try and all stand behind more perhaps industry level practices, i.e. can we integrate in a more consistent approach? So again, if I go through back to my slightly cheap iPhone analogy, and it's not as complicated, I know it's not as complicated, but in principle, if we can get some common integration approaches going, and another day maybe Chloe we can talk about streaming and Kafka and all of these other technologies that are now available to us all, And perhaps as we move further towards that, we can create more of a plug and play environment. And my dream world would be maybe 5 years from now, Bill will effectively have a list of capabilities that Bill wants to satisfy from his advisor group telling him what they want to see. And then Bill should be able to go to market and say, I want that one, and that one. And they could be from three different suppliers. And then Bill provides that service, right? And everybody wins.
Mm. And so, Bill, from your perspective, what do you think about this idea of plug and play?
I'm never quite sure exactly what it means, but from my perspective, differentiation is very important, and the ability to differentiate our platform from others. And we've had a number of firsts in the market. And as I mentioned earlier, one of the big frustrations is with the monolith type technology. If you're tied into that, you're tied in not only to your own development timescale, but also the suppliers. So I look at it very much as how do we differentiate ourselves in the market? Because once you put some new tech in the market, if it really works, others will copy it. That's a fact. But you've probably got a year's leading them to exploit that. And this is a never-ending race. Everyone's trying to do the best thing for their clients. But the ability to differentiate has certainly been one of our strong messages and one of the things we really take to market.
And so we've talked obviously about the opportunities, the flexibility, the differentiation, etc. What do you think are some of the challenges to the implementation of microservices? If we start with you, Bill, this time.
I think one of the big challenges is probably it's a bit of a disruptor to the technology providers, and that their financial model will be under stress and will have to change. And that is something they've got to wrestle with, really. And also, if you've got a big monolith system in place, I think the only way you can really do it is chip away at it, you know, one bite at a time, and gradually over time replace it. And because really you're into a type of replatforming exercise, and that's where massive amounts of time and money are spent, and indeed wasted a lot. So I think it's very much eating the elephant one bite at a time.
And what do you think, Mike?
Again, I agree with Bill, right? If we were sitting here trying to replicate the Sky News program where one person's for and one person's against, I think we're doing a bad job of it, right? So for me, it's absolutely about what Bill was saying. I think it's important that if this is where the industry is going, then we collectively need to go there. So by that, I'm kind of implying that we need more access to data. We need more access to platforms. We need modern integration approaches to them. So again, if we ignore the tech, you know, data is king. You know, I don't want, and certainly my wife would back me up, we shouldn't have advisors multiple keying the same piece of data. So therefore, we need to have data that moves around a lot easier. So for me, it almost feels a level above, say, Bill and I, where the industry collectively, and that includes the platform providers, and in that includes my parent company, so Bravura, and of course now Finacomp are part of Bravura, then the integration there is going to be a lot easier perhaps than it could have been otherwise. So for sure going forward, it's all about everybody opening up. You know, people talk about open architecture a lot, and ultimately that's what it's trying to do. It's trying to say, make it more available so that we can all compete in the same space. And again, that should drive down costs because we integrate easier. It should drive down Bill's costs and the industry costs because they don't need to test the big box every time and spend 7, 9, 12 months doing so. They can just spend a comparatively short period of time testing that specific thing that they're focused in on the changes for.
Yeah, I think with any innovation like this, the main challenge is always kind of convincing people of the value of it and of leaving kind of old ways of doing kind of behind. Do you think that as a whole, the industry is open to this idea of creating microservices and moving in that direction?
Yeah, I think I did say that one of the things is the financial model of the tech providers is changing, and there'll be some a lot of income from providing the big monolith systems will disappear. But it's one of those things like this happen, and if you don't change with the world and try and hang on to what you've always done, you'll wake up one day and you'll have nothing left. So you have to find a way to make that change and just live with it and move with the times.
Great. I think platforms have done incredibly well for a period of time. What Bill was describing earlier as the monoliths, I think they were, they're complicated things by their very nature. They deal with a lot of legislation. They deal with a lot of money in, money out. But ultimately, I think the world has moved, and I think, again, the industry needs to move with it. I think if we'd spoken about the cloud maybe 5 years ago, we probably wouldn't have anticipated the excitement and the progress to the cloud that now everybody's so keen to do it at 100,000 miles an hour. And as Bill quite rightly says, I think there's a time that those big suppliers will need to think, right, we either need to catch this train or we're missing it. And there are plenty of examples in the past, you know, the whole video, Betamax, you know, VHS, you can go back to Kodak, you know, things will never change. They work just fine. Well, history proves that isn't necessarily the case. So hey, adaptation, moving on, always good things.
Absolutely. And so finally, how do you, and maybe that's quite a big question, but how do you envision the future of microservices and, you know, the future of platforms as a whole and the role of microservices within it? What do you think, Mike?
So I think going forwards, we will have, and our clients at the moment will have the opportunity to build a platform using microservices from multiple suppliers, and the integration of them will be so much better than it is today. So that will ultimately release costs from the platform business, or not the platform business, from our clients' businesses. That should then enable those cost savings to be pushed on to, for example, build customers. So for me, I'm passionate about people getting advice. I know advisors are passionate about providing that advice. And certainly for me and Finacomp, it's all about how do we help to enable that? Because in my mind, the cost of living is only going one way for the next period of time. And that's when advice and providing wealth to individuals gets more and more important. So if we can be part of that challenge and providing that advice, then I'm happy to be so. And that's my soapbox rant over, Chloe.
Right. And so what about you, Bill? How do you envision the future of microservices?
Well, we're committed to utilizing microservices much more widely on our platform. And I think we are very much in the advice market, and we're always trying to do things to work with advisors, provide them with tools to do their jobs better. I think we were the first people to introduce online portfolio construction tools in a previous life back in 2001. And we talked about taking all the grunt work away from advisors and allowing them to focus on giving advice. So I think they'll see more facilities, more new things coming to the market. We're very often, almost all the time, in conversations with suppliers about providing new tools. So I think they will see it happen more quickly and perhaps a bit more differentiation between platforms as to what they provide.
Bill and Mike, thank you so much for being here, and thank you everybody for listening. If you'd like to get in contact with us about this episode, we're on Twitter at New Model Advisor, or feel free to get in contact with me directly. I'm cmelly, M-E-L-E-Y, at citywire.co.uk. Thanks everyone, and we will see you next week. We'll be right back.